Take your Bible, if you would please, to the book of James. James chapter 1 today. Be reading just a few verses. And we are in our series entitled Committed to His Word. Boy, how we need to commit to something that is not changing, something that is not erratic, something that is does not have to be politically correct, but is divinely correct. Thank the Lord for the Bible. Amen. Heard a story recently about a church that had an unusual meeting. And the meeting was called a quitting meeting. And someone asked, well, what is a quitting meeting? And the preacher said it's similar to a revival meeting. The only difference is this. In this meeting, we're calling on people to quit certain things, like quitting smoking and quitting dipping and quitting spitting on one another and quitting carousing. And one elderly lady came forward one night and knelt at the altar, began to weep and to cry. Preacher was surprised because this lady was faithful, wasn't off into sin. She's too old to get too sinful. And he walked down to the lady and said, "Ma'am, what in the world are you doing? I don't think anything's wrong in your life." She said, "Well, I ain't been doing nothing, and I'm quitting. I'm quitting doing nothing." And I think maybe we ought to have a quitting meeting this morning. And some of us quit not reading the book. Quit not receiving the book. And quit not doing the book. So today I'd like to talk to you about doing the Word. Doing the Word. I read for you James 1, beginning at verse 16, please. And the Bible says, "Do not err, my brother, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. I don't know what that is, but it sounds bad. Right? And if your mother would look at you and say, "Naughty, naughty, naughty, quit it." That's what God said. Lay it apart from you. Get it away. If God would look at you and say, "You're a naughty child, get rid of it. Don't do it anymore." And the Bible goes on to say, "And receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. Doing the word. I think, like the elderly lady, many of us today should have an old-fashioned quitting meeting in our life. Amen. And quit doing nothing. I just believe today we need to listen to what God says today with purpose. Repetitiously listen. Not just here because we have 40 minutes or so to listen. I think we need to listen to this book today on purpose. With the purpose of not only hearing it, but doing it. Many Christians read this book every day and leave their house forgetting what they read and just go ahead and live like they're going to anyhow. Many of us even memorize certain portions of Scripture every week or every day or ever so often, and you should. On my desk are memory verses that I memorize every day. I memorized one last week, and it was, "Whoso watcheth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from trouble." That same day, I opened my big mouth and got into trouble. I read it. I memorized it. I forgot to do it. I know I'm the only sinner here. Well, I know that I'm the only one in this place that sometimes listens to this book, memorizes this book, meditate on this book, but we forget to do this book. Amen. Is there anybody here? Because some of you look like you're going to sleep already. I think maybe we need to listen with purpose today, and purpose is to do the book, just not to listen to the book, not just to rejoice in the poetry of the book, not just to be adventurous in the adventurous stories in the book, not just to be theoretically informed as to the origin of the book. We need to listen to the book for the sole purpose of doing the book. Is there anybody here today who are willing to not only listen, but to do the book? I mean, real loud, amen, hallelujah, bless God. I want to do God's word. First of all, then, what we must do is hear the word. Notice, if you would please, in verse 19, the Bible says this, and it says in verse 19, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let everyone be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." Do you think maybe God had a purpose in giving us two ears and one mouth? Do you think maybe there's a story, there's a byline, there is an end to why God gave us one mouth, two ears? Could he be trying to say to you, you'd be a lot better off if you're listening than you would be talking? Have you ever noticed how easy it is to butt in on somebody else's conversation when they're talking? I do that, and I say, "I'm sorry." I used to do it after my dad slapped me. I said, "I'm sorry." Or my mother said, "I'll take you out back." I said, "I'm sorry, I'll never do that again." How many of you are guilty, or you know someone is guilty, who are listening to a conversation and then rudely interrupt that conversation because what you've got to say is so very, so very, very, very enlightening and important? Maybe the Bible says, and we really need to listen to this, shut up and listen for a minute. Be swift to hear. I have a problem. Could I please tell you my problem? Why is it we respect somebody praying more than we do somebody preaching? Why is it if we walk in on somebody praying and they haven't said amen yet, we can't say anything until they get to praying? But we walk in on speaking and we walk in on the teaching and the reading of God's word and we tell dirty jokes while it's going on. Could it be we're not listening to God when He says, slow to speak, quick to hear? Do you think it's more important for what God to hear what you've got to say or what God has to say to you? We put much emphasis on prayer, do we not? And dear God, we know we need to. But we're more respectful and reverential to prayer than we are to His book. When God said we ought to be swift to hear, slow to speak. You're right. Is anybody listening now? The Barner Group, a Christian pollster, has given this percentage. 37% of Americans read their Bibles weekly. 85% pray. 37% reads the Bible. 85% pray. All along this Bible verse has been in here. Is it more important what God has to say to us? It ought to be all so more important than what He says to us than what we say to Him. Is anybody listening? Now, I'm just saying, I'm trying to help you a little bit this morning. And I believe with all my heart, we need to hear God's Word. I like cowboy movies. You never guessed that. I went the other day when it got so snowy. I said, it'd be a good day to go to Walmart and get a good Western movie. I have never seen, because they'll be on the $5 or $3 rack. You say, I don't watch movies. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. And to my ultimate surprise, they didn't have any I hadn't seen. I love Western movies. Two cowboys riding out in the desert. And they rode up on an Indian, laying flat of his face with his ear to the road. And one cowboy said to the other one, you know what he's doing, don't you? No, sir, I have no idea what he's doing. Well, he's listening. That Indian can listen. And from miles away, hear things that you and I cannot hear. And the other cowboy said, you mean to tell me that Indian can hear with just his ear on the ground? Well, yes, because he is an intent listener. And they rode up on the Indian. The Indian turned over and said, covered wagon about 2 miles away. Have two horses, one brown, one white. Man, woman, household effects in wagon. The cowboy's eyes getting big as hubcaps. And he said, that is absolutely incredible. The Indian turned over and said, not incredible. Wagon run over me an hour and a half ago. We need to listen on purpose. But there are many approaches today as we live in this very multiplex, complex society in which we live. And there are many approaches to Scripture today. And many of the results are that we become hearers only and not doers of the Word. For instance, there are the relativistic hearers, those who undermine the authority of our Scriptures that suggests that it may be right for you, but it is not right for me. It's the crowd that suggests the Word of God is not relevant for our day. It was relevant for my mom and dad. It was relevant for my grandparents. It was relevant for the frontier days. But this book is outdated and is not relevant for today. The truth in it is not for me. We have that listener in our congregation. Well, that old wives submit business went out with the turn of the century. That old husband submit went out with the turn of the century. Kids obeying went out when daddy lost his razor strap. No, this book is still relevant. It says the rod will drive the devil from the child. Spare the rod, spoil the child. This book is still relevant. So we have many listeners who come today who says that this book is no longer relevant. We have listeners today who are in our suspicious hearers. Others treat the Bible like a magic telltale of some kind, like the children of Israel, who because the Bible said they had the Ark of the Covenant in their camp, they could not lose the battle. That's wrong. You can lose the battle with the Word of God in your heart if you don't do the Word. Husband, don't do you no good to quote Ephesians 5:22 to your wife if you don't practice verse 21. Children don't obey because they see disobedience in the life of the parents toward God. Well, the Bible's good for the kid, ain't good for mom and dad, really. Oh, booze will make them drunk, but it won't make you drunk. If they drink a little booze, they might turn out to be a sot, but you can handle it. Not relevant, see? Book's not relevant. It's just a superstitious thing that you read, and some hearers look at it as emotional hearers. They just want it to make them feel good, not do good. Well, I didn't feel anything at church. Well, you didn't bring any feelings with you. You left it last night in the late show. You're numb at 3 o'clock this morning when you finally went to bed after watching Tulips and the Turnips. Can you say amen? Did you ever see that movie? Me neither. See, you can listen. Oh, yes, you can be a superstitious hearer. You can be a theoretical hearer. You just want to hear the Bible to make sure that you're doctrinally correct and you're straight as a string theologically, but it does not affect your life. That is what I'm talking about. We need not only to be hearers, we need to be doers of the Word. The Bible said in Proverbs 18:15, the heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. Bless your heart, you need to be hearers of the Word. Has any of you enjoyed the Olympics? Has any of you noticed that they're on? And on and on and on and on. And on and on and on. Much stress and much emphasis is put on athleticism at this time. Thank God we'll get out of this into March Madness. And out of that into Cowboy Madness. We get out of that, we'll just be mad. But much emphasis is placed on that. And I was reading recently of a 33-year-old athlete by the name of Eric Weinheimer. And he was 33 years old, a phenomenal athlete, if you please, as a young man. He loved to skydive, snow ski, and climb mountains. All those safe things. Mountain climbing was especially, though. As a matter of fact, he was on track of being one of the youngest to climb all 7 summits and highest peaks in all the continents. 1955, he scaled Mount McKinley. 1996, El Capitan. 1998, Mount Kilimanjaro. 1999, he climbed Argentina's Anaconda. In May 25, 2001, he reached the summit of Mount Everest, the peak that very few have ever climbed. 1953, 165 people died that year alone trying to climb Mount McKinley. 90% of the people who try to climb it never reach the summit. But Eric made it. Now that's extremely significant because Eric is blind. Totally blind. What an unusual deal that a totally blind man can achieve those feats. Now you ask yourself, preacher, is that just preaching? No. How is it possible that a man who is totally blind reached the summit of all the major mountains in all the continents? You ask Eric and he will tell you, I have become a good listener. He said, as I climb, I listen to the bell that's strapped to the back of the climber in front of me. And that tells me the direction I'm to go. He said, I listen to the climber's partners who shout back to him, death fall 2 feet to the right, and I know the direction to go. He said, I listen to the sounds of the pickaxe as it hits the ice to know whether the footing is secure or not. Eric said, if you want to do great feats, good listening is a matter of life or death. Are you listening today on purpose because it is a matter of life or death? Doing the word. We must also not only be good listeners, we must accept the word in verse number 21. If you would please, you look at that. And the Bible says in verse 21, and I'll tell you what time it is, but I can't see it because of the glare. Verse 21 says, wherefore, lay apart all naughtiness and superfluity of naughtiness. You know why? Listen to me. Listen. Because that junk gets in the way of the word. Right. How many today are enjoying what the Bible calls filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness? And that is keeping them from the book, the word. I don't go down there. I don't know what that preacher's going to jump on me about. It's not the preacher. It's the word. And then he says, after you've laid that aside, receive with meekness the engrafted word. The engrafted word. Which, notice this, is able to save your soul. You listening? Now this is what the Bible says you do. Get rid of your junk. Get rid of your sin. You say, I don't know what it is. Well, just bow your head and close your eyes and ask God to roll them by. Shut your mouth. Amen. Don't say anything. Say, now, Lord, you just exposed to me right now while my eyes are shut. You show me what you don't like in my life. You say, well, no. Are you listening? Because it is a matter of life and death. And you need to quit some of that stuff. And receive the Word of God. Why? Because it's able to save your soul. Amen. Amen. You see, I really believe it must be received before it can do you any good. The Bible said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is, now listen, is profitable. How many folk believe the Bible? The Bible said all Scripture, every bit of it, every word, every jot, every tittle, every bit of Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable.
Is that not so? You'll find that verse in 2 Timothy 3:16. And it's profitable to us. But before it can be profitable, it's got to get inside. The Bible said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open..." I know it's talking about the church, and I know the context is about the church. But it says, "If any man will open, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me." It's hard for Jesus to clean up your house on the outside, standing on the porch, knocking on the door. If you want Jesus to do any housekeeping, if you want your home to be fixed, if you want your life to be fixed, if you want everything to come into being like it ought to be, you're going to have to open the door, let it in, and let Him do something in your life. Many of us have got Him standing on the outside knocking. The Word of God is profitable only to those who read and obey it by faith. The Word of God in the book of James says it's a mirror to behold and reflect. This morning, I got up. I went to the mirror. I could not believe that mirror was such a stinking liar. My mirror is getting uglier every day. My mirror is starting to sag in a lot of places. And I cannot believe that sucker's becoming hairless. It used to be a hairy mirror. It used to be a skinny mirror. But now I stand in certain directions and that stinking mirror is lying to me again. And I opened a door this morning and walked into my bathroom and my hair was a mess. Oh, did I look good. And I looked in the mirror. And suddenly I looked like that cat that was about to get hit by that car. Ah! How do you look when you look into the mirror? You say, "That's why I don't look." Kids, it's not the preacher you need to be looking at. Some of you girls are so pretty. Your skin is so soft. Your hair is so flowing and so beautiful. That will change. Believe you me. You say, "I'll get a facelift." You're going to run out of hide one of these days. If that's what the mirror does for you, the mirror's lying to you. You ain't always going to look that way. And one of these days, some of you hadn't got into the zit age yet. Just wait till you get to enjoy zits. Zits where you don't want them, and most of all, when you don't want them. And you look in the mirror and tell the mirror, "That's not a zit." You leave the mirror and your boyfriend says, "What's it on your face?" You say, "None of your business." Don't get mad at the preacher. It's not the preacher that you need to be looking at. You need to be looking in the mirror of God's Word. It's going to show you some things. And this mirror, this book, will do you no good if you don't let it in. You've got to let it in. And the Bible said it is profitable. This book that I hold in my hand is a mirror and it reflects, according to James chapter 1, it reflects my real being. It reflects who I am. It reflects my sinfulness. But according to 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18, this mirror also reflects the glory of God.
and changes me from glory to glory by His Spirit. This book is God's instrument by which I look in the mirror and I see my sinfulness. I see what I need to do and I don't know how to do it. And this book changes me from the glory to glory to be like God's glory by His Holy Spirit. That's the instrument God uses. Not only is it a mirror that reflects, it's a sword that fights and divides, because the Bible said it's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's a lamp that guides and directs. The Bible said, "Thy Word is a light, a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Oh yes, if you'll look in this mirror, it'll show you the right path and it'll sure expose you the wrong one. Will it not? This book, the Bible, is milk for growth and development, as sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. You can't just have a little baby. Put it on the porch, give it a bottle, and I'll see you when you're 18. Does that work? Well, why in God's name do you think you can get born into God's family as a child of God? Never drink the milk of God's Word and you're going to grow. You're going to grow old, you say, and you're going to grow up. This Bible is profitable. It's seed for regeneration and fruitfulness. The Word of God profitable is because it is we're born of the Word. We grow by the Word. We're cleansed by the Word. We're protected by the Word. We're edified by the Word. We're converted by the Word. And bless God, we're satisfied by the Word. We need to get into the Word and become doers, not just listeners only. Some comments by great Christians of past. Don't be afraid to invest in the best Bible you can afford. We bought a Bible the other day, put it in the bookstore. It's $160. $160 for a Bible? That's 2 cartons of cigarettes. Dear God. How ridiculous it is to spend $160 on the Bible. When we spend that much money and give ourselves cancer. How many six packs is that, Brother Pickett? Just ask it. You pay more than that for a cowboy ticket. To watch a bunch of naked cowgirls that can't even spell horse. You gripe about spending $160 for a Bible. One of our idiots walked in and bought that. And he's won somebody to Christ just about every week since he's been saved. Amen. Billy Graham said, invest in a good Bible. For that is what you're making an investment. Find out for yourself why it answers every human need, why it supplies the faith and strength that keeps humanity marching forward. Invest in a good Bible. Someone said, I'm sorry for men who do not read the Bible every day. I wonder how they deprive themselves of strength and of the pleasure. Woodrow Wilson. Horace Greeley said, it's impossible to mentally or socially enslave a Bible-reading people. For the principles of the Bible are the groundwork for human freedom. Amen. The only alternative to teaching the Word of God, the only teaching of the Word of God, the only alternate teaching of the Word of God, listen to me, the only teaching to the Word of God is bondage. The only alternate to the Word of God is bondage. Amen. And if you're not listening to the Word, and you're not receiving the Word, I promise you, you are in bondage to something. You are no longer in charge, but your hobbies or your pleasure or your success-driven life, you are in bondage if you are not reading and receiving this book. All of God's people said amen. And then he said, be ye doers of the Word, not hearers only. It's 11:23, and I'm done. We must become doers of the word. Not readers only, not memorizing only, not meditating only, but in our everyday affairs, this book should govern our attitude and our actions. If this book governs your attitude or actions, you'll never have to apologize, back up, or cover up. It'll always be straight as a string. It says, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. Old Nike commercial said, just do it. Is anything wrong with just doing it? You see, when I was a kid, I think I heard a phrase, I'm closing, mirror, mirror on the wall. Anybody ever hear that phrase when you was younger? Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest of them all? The wicked witch must have been a Baptist. Because she was happiest when the mirror was lying to her. Uglier than a mud pie. Wrinkled as a 2-year-old cucumber. Nose so long that you look like you've been asleep for or lied for 1,000 years. And walks up to the mirror knowing that Snow White was somewhere in the land. She walked up to the mirror. Mirror, mirror in my hand, make me feel good if you can. I don't want to feel bad. Don't tell me the truth, or I'll go to the church of my choice, or I'll go buy me a different mirror. You seen them mirrors at the fair? They make you look longagated and flabbergated and fatigated. You ever seen a mirror down the flare? That's the kind of mirror Baptists want. They don't want the one that says, you are a sinner. You have a sin nature. Your tendencies are to do wrong and enjoy wrong and go wrong. Don't do that. But that's where all the fun is. You're like one who looks into the mirror and looks at all the defects, turns around and says, I don't believe that. I'm pretty cool. And off you go, disregarding what you heard, what you saw, what you received. Turn around and leave in the same shape you were when you looked at the mirror. Now, I was gracious to you today.
Amen.
Because when I looked in the mirror this morning, the mirror said, don't go to church like that. Those people deserve better. Even if you got to paste something on, glue something on, shrink something, change something, blow dry something, just don't go looking like that. My sermon's dying. What's happening?
Forty-2 years ago,
the Lord was good to you.
Amen.
Because I looked in the mirror. And He said, Joshua Baptist Church don't need a pastor like you.
Amen.
They don't need a pastor fighting and fussing and drinking and hell raising. They don't need that. Your family don't need that.
Amen.
Your friends don't need that.
And I looked into the mirror. And I'll tell you, I didn't like what I saw. That book said I was a sinner bound for hell. Now, you may have fun for a minute. You may enjoy your little lifestyle for a minute. But, buddy, one of these days, the judgment, and then you're going to be cast into hell because you're a sinner by nature. You're a sinner by act. You are a sinner. And I looked at that. Then I turned another page, and it says, you are a sinner. Not of your own choice. You're a sinner because of your mom and your dad and their mom and their dad, all the way back to their mom and their dad, Adam. Wherefore, as an Adam, all sin. So all must die. Turn another page. You know what it says? It says you don't have to die. You don't have to go to hell. I looked into the mirror and I liked that. It says, you don't have to do that. Christ commended His love toward you, in that while you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. That book, that mirror I looked into, shouted aloud, God loves you more than anything in the world. You're a sinner bound for hell, and God loves you. I was starting to like that book. Now turn over to Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, and it talks about eternal life. The way I was living, I didn't know how long this one was going to last. Twice that year, I'd almost been killed. One guy put a .38 pistol between my eyes, pulled a hammer back, and I had no idea how big a barrel on a .38 pistol looked from that end. And that hammer went back, and it sounded like all eternity had fallen from heaven and hit the ground. It was so loud. And he said, Wolfenbarger, you're a dead man. I turned another page. And it says you can have eternal life. Not by listening, but by doing. And about that time, I was interested in what to do. And I turned another page. Same mirror. It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's what I did. I just slid off my couch, got on my knees, and said, Lord Jesus, if you can forgive a hell-bound sinner like me, I sure wish you would right now come into my heart and save my soul. 42 years ago, I became not a hearer only, but a doer. And I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. Let's do the Word. One of our church members, I'm sure, might have been my wife, is at the Aldera. As they run to the parking lot real quick one Sunday morning, never late, it just we start early sometime. Into the parking lot they came, broke in the back door, and said, is the preaching done? Brother Sears said, the preaching is over, but the preaching ain't been done yet. The preaching's over, but the preaching ain't been done yet. The preaching's over, but it ain't been done yet. I'm done. Now it's time for you to get to do it. Be doers of the Word. For if you be hearers only and not doers, you are deceiving yourself. But he who hears it and continues therein shall be blessed in all his deeds.